Good morning. We have been gathered together by the one who created us good, loved us, taught us all we need, and sent us into the world to serve his purposes. Will you please rise as you are able to join me as we call ourselves into an attitude of worship? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We come convinced of many things, but trusting very few. Holy God of limitless surprises, meet us here in this place as we touch that which we cannot see, that which we have not dared to hope. Guide us in our worship of you. So please remain standing for hymn number 361. Even in our faithlessness, God loves us still and waits in mercy to forgive. Trusting in the promises given at our baptism, let us confess our sin before God and one another. God of truth, we know we fall far short of your expectations for us. Sometimes we fail even our own self-expectations. We wander away from you in our daily routines. We ignore your commands and in apathy turn our backs on those who are suffering. Forgive our short-sighted vision, our constant focus on ourselves, and our discounting of future generations in our decision-making. Help us to deepen our connections with you through prayer, praise, and scripture, and with others through affirming, supportive relationships. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all grace. Amen. Friends, we have washed ourselves and made ourselves clean before God. Our sins are like scarlet, but through faith shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. In desiring a better country, a heavenly one, God is no longer ashamed of us. In Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Sorry. Okay, please pray with me now before I read the scripture from the New Testament. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Amen. Okay, I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11. In the Pew Bible, it is found on page 225. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that were not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith and without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mindy. That was beautiful. Today's gospel reading comes from Luke 12, verses 32 through 40, and it can be found on page 75 in the New Testament. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them, so blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Let us pray. Creator God, prepare our hearts to accept your word. May your spirit silence us in us any voice but your own, that in hearing we may also follow Christ our Lord. Amen. This sermon is Deb's. These are her words. I did have to look up how to pronounce the title, however. Thank you, Google. Thank you, YouTube. Mise en place. I'll get to that meaning later. For fun, usually while eating dinner on the couch, I like to watch cooking shows on TV. This does not include cooking competition shows like Chopped or Iron Chef. That's not real cooking. No, I'm more into Nadia Bakes and Cook's Country and, of course, good old Good Eats. Those cooks actually teach you a recipe or two while they chit-chat about food. It feels like I'm there in the kitchen with a good friend. One of the things I think is fun is how they all seem to put their ingredients into cute little bowls and shakers and have them all measured out before they begin to cook. I always thought that was just to make the space look pretty and to speed things along for TV. But then I learned they are actually following an age-old culinary custom called mise en place. That's a fancy French phrase that means be prepared. The idea behind it is if you approach the process in an orderly manner, if your ingredients are all measured out, cut, peeled, sliced, or grated, and if your mixing bowls, tools, and equipment are all set out, ready to go, you'll be able to assemble your meal quickly and effortlessly. It also means you won't forget to add the flour to the gingerbread before you put the batter in the oven. Mise en place can help any cook avoid disaster. It's a good thing. Why do I bring this up? Well, today's reading from Luke begins by repeating words we read together last week. They are vitally important because they offer us a mise en place list that will help us live into the life Jesus asks of us. It's a list that helps disciples be prepared for the day on which he returns to the world. 1. Fear not. 2. Sell off worldly goods. 3. Make wallets that don't wear out. 4. Be dressed for service. 5. Keep your lamps lit. Oh dear, there are those words we heard last week about not being afraid of the future and getting rid of all those things we've accumulated over our lifetimes. How can we not be fearful in these times? The two seem incongruous to me. Like my mom was, I'm a bit off of a, collector. I hang on to things because I might need them someday. That kind of thinking made sense for her. She grew up during the Great Depression, when even having shoes without holes in the soles was a big deal. But me, not so much. I also get a little anxious about letting something go, even if I know I won't use it any time in the near future. My mind always goes to, what if? What if I might need that again? My basement is full of plastic tote bins full of what-ifs.
Does this sound like others you know? I could say it's my way of trying to be prepared, but Jesus would strongly encourage me to let these things go so I could be free to follow his call wherever it leads. That's not an easy thing to do, though, is it? Not for me, not for anyone. And that part about being dressed for service, what does that mean? All Jesus' talk about the bridegroom who comes home sounds a little daunting, but it made perfectly good sense to the people of his day. Back then, the bridegroom would leave his home and travel with a group of friends to the bride's family's home. They'd all participate in a ceremony surrounded by the entire village, and then everyone would head back to the groom's place for a feast. The servants, if they wanted to keep their jobs, would be waiting expectantly for them there, dressed for work and bearing platters of food, and all the lamps would be trimmed and burning brightly. Even if the groom and his company did not come home until midnight, those servants would be ready and waiting. They would be prepared. Of course, we all know that Jesus is telling those around him all this is a way of explaining how they would anticipate the arrival of the Son of Man, the human one who will come when no one expects him. To his way of thinking, no one should waste time waiting around for further instructions from the groom. The Messiah is already here, but the main event hasn't quite yet begun. So, get organized. Have those little bowls of ingredients at hand. Be ready to go. Mise en place. The question, of course, is why? Why should disciples always be prepared? A few minutes ago, I noted that the idea behind mise en place was so that you'll be able to assemble your meal quickly and effortlessly, and that you won't ever forget an important ingredient. Trust me on this, gingerbread does not rise, let alone bake, without the flour. And if that happens, well, disappointment in yourself could well be the least of your worries. That's the kind of thing that can make you afraid to bake ever again. Fear? Fear not. Wasn't not being afraid the first sentence in this passage? Wasn't it the first item Jesus specified on his mise en place list for being ready for the Son of Man? And yet, fear is a basic ingredient in most of our lives. Remember, this passage is a checklist to help you be prepared, and it tells us what happens to folks who are prepared for the future. Mise en place is a practice that helps us build confidence. Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid to move. We aren't to be deer caught in the headlights of life. You know, with all what is being said in this story, it's easy to miss the almost hidden phrase on which the entire passage turns. But the words make a major difference in how we understand everything, and they are way back at the outset of the passage. Jesus began by saying, "Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights in giving you the kingdom." God doesn't just want to give us some things and hope we do all right. God isn't just sitting around waiting for us to earn God's favor or watching to make sure we are toeing the line. No, Jesus says that God wants to give us the kingdom and all good things. In fact, he says God delights in giving us the kingdom and all good things. That changes everything. In this whole reading, Jesus never says that God is a difficult groom who demands things of employees. He doesn't say God will strike you down if you're not ready for X or Y or Z. Instead, he calls the people who are gathered there to hear him, little flock. That sounds more like a loving parent who wants only what is best for you, or maybe a caring coach who wants you to be the Olympian you were made to be. What lies beneath a boss's statement or words from a parent is what makes the difference. Friends, throughout the entirety of Scripture, God has consistently promised to give us all the good things. We constantly hear how God wants the best for God's children. And time again, we see how God has reached out in loving kindness to people, even when they've misbehaved. God wants us to stop fretting and forgetting. God wants us to focus on the good life we are being given through the faith of the Son and faith in the Son. When disciples have done their prep work, they can serve without fear, and they can remember how much God cares for and about them. There is no need to fret or be afraid. So this story of mise en place is all about being freed from the fear that holds us back, so we can focus more on the most important things. When we are prepared, when we are dressed and ready to serve, When the light of our lamp shines into the darkness of fear, we are able to have and enjoy and share the rich, abundant, good life that comes from being in relationship with God and each other. For where our hearts are, so too will be our treasure, a treasure that will never run out or be destroyed by moths, a treasure worth far more than all the gold in the world, the treasure that is the kingdom of God's love. Fear not, little flock. With mise en place, you will be prepared, and that's a very good thing. Amen.
Please stand and join me in the hymn number 508, For the Bread Which You Have Broken.
Seated. Not in your bulletin is inserted a prayer. Let us pray. We come to you today with our everyday concerns for our congregation members and others that we know. We pray for healing and comfort for those who are ill or grieving, and for the ease of suffering for those who are homeless, hungry, abused, poor in spirit, living in poverty, or living in fear in areas of crime or in war zones. We pray for those who have been affected by natural disasters, especially those experiencing the floods in Kentucky. We ask for protection for our first responders and military personnel who unselfishly serve our communities and country. Please grant wisdom to our community and national leaders, as well as leaders of all nations. Help them to make decisions which are fair and compassionate and will benefit all your people and the resources of your creation. We ask your forgiveness for our neglect in showing our gratitude and praise for all you have given us and for your faithfulness to us. May the Holy Spirit help us to become passionate about having you in the center circle of our lives, and that worshiping and praising you as we come together in church, listening to your word through scripture, preaching, and teaching, renews us spiritually and gives us hope in this time when things in our world seem hopeless. Help us acknowledge the power of prayer, even though your plans or time frame for us may differ from our own. Give us each a sense of purpose and a sense of belonging as we carry out your assignments for us here on earth. Guide us to be more passionate about the happenings in our church, to spread our concern and friendliness to our fellow congregants and to those beyond our congregation, and to participate in worship and other activities with an unstoppable eagerness. On this Communion Sunday, we thank you for the unselfish gift of your Son as our Savior. Please help us to remember this gift, not just today, but every day. Help us to soften our hearts, persevere in our prayers, and remain patient and positive as we strive to make you a priority in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you please join me as we declare the faith we share with Jesus followers around the world? So please stand as you're able, and we are going to do the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 14 of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He ascended from the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Welcome to the table of our Lord. And as I speak, I trust that the microphone is picking up my voice. Can you hear me all right back there? Perhaps I better yell louder. All right. I guess God made lungs before he made electronics. Hello there. Here we are. All right. As we move to the celebration of our Lord, a couple of remarks I wanted to make. One, I want to continue in prayer for our pastor, Deb, as she's struggles with COVID-19. Had she not suddenly discovered that she was ill, I probably would not be standing here. And the second thing I wanted to mention is we want to continue in prayer for our good and wonderful friend, Herb Hicks, who struggles with illness even as I speak. That being said, last night, when Deb called me, and in some consternation, she asked me to do communion. And I said I would, but I need to do the old one because I seem to be an old person. Now, I'm not sure exactly how I got to be this old, but the problem is that I know that service and I don't know the newer one. So I'll ask you to bear with me and not to worry about what is printed in the bulletin. I'm just going to do the standard liturgy as I learned it. Oh, it must be 60, 70 years ago. So with those warnings, I move then to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If those who hear my voice come to me, I will come into them and eat with them, and they with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and his goodness is forever. Happy are all who find refuge in their God." On the eve of his arrest, Our Lord gathered his disciples in celebration of his final meal. And as he invited them long ago, so all of us are welcome now, regardless of your church tradition. I invite you to share the feast to which our Lord has invited us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I have received of the Lord that which also was delivered to me, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you drink it, as often as you eat this bread, you show forth the Lord's death until he comes again in glory. As the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, so I take these elements of bread and wine to be consecrated and set apart from every common use to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, so let us return to him our prayers and our thanksgiving. Let us pray. All glory and thanksgiving be to you, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, because out of your great mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, who made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial of his death and sacrifice until he comes again. Therefore, having in remembrance his incarnation and holy life, his passion and precious death, his resurrection and glorious ascension, and his continual intercession, we, your humble servants, pleading his eternal sacrifice, set forth with these your holy gifts which we offer to you, that memorial your Son commanded us to make. And we humbly ask you, merciful Father, to bless and sanctify both us and these your gifts of bread and wine with your Holy Spirit, that the bread which we break may be the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless the communion of the blood of Christ. Here we offer and present our souls and our bodies to you, that they may be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice. And we pray that you may mercifully accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as in the communion of all the faithful in heaven and on earth, we pray that you may fulfill in us and in all your people the purpose of your redeeming love, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto you, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. According to the holy institution of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in remembrance of him, we do this, who on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This do as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he come again. O Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, grant to us thy peace. Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. Do this, remembering him. Amen. you all of it. This cup is the new covenant in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for many unto the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. Jesus Christ shed for many unto the remission of sin, drink ye all of it. Peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank you that in the fullness of your love you have fed us at this table with this spiritual food and has assured us that we are members of the mystical body of thy Son, the blessed company of all faithful people and heirs of your everlasting kingdom. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that you may assist us with your grace, that that we may continue in this holy fellowship and live to your glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns and is worshiped and glorified with you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit, world without end. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, let us humbly pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please remain standing and sing hymn number 364 with me. I sing a song of the saints of God.
I know the old...